nobody's going to understand what you're doing. They're all going to think you're fucking crazy. And you either got to sack up and just do it and take the risk, or don't do it.
You're listening to the Blacktop Banter Podcast, the premier podcast in the asphalt industry, made for contractors with contractors.
What's up, Blacktop Banter? We are back. And when you're hearing this, you're probably in the midst of conference season, I would say. And if you are, you're probably somewhere nice, I would imagine. And maybe you're on your way there and you're listening to a podcast and you decided for it to be this one. I'm excited for that because I have a guest today who I've been really admiring on Instagram. Great little shorts, great content, on-site, on-job content. That really makes it a lot of fun. Mike, will you please introduce yourself, my friend?
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Michael Militia, founder and CEO, president of CPEX Coastal Paving and Excavating. We're a full general engineering company. Started off just doing seal coats and small patch stuff, you know, driveway, door-to-door knocking. And now we're doing full engineering, underground concrete site work. Paving, you name it. So
the good stuff.
Yep, exactly. all the money.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it's a common story, man. Like we have guests on where they're like, yeah, I started seal cutting out of the back of the van, or you know, I had a hot box and the hot box ended up being my way to get into the line striping, or I got into something else with it. And yeah, it's a common theme, man. But when I look at your guys' content, I'm like, dude, these guys are doing some epic jobs. So for us, it's always fun to hear that because that's every young asphalt entrepreneur's dream, I think, when they're out seal coating. And they're like, one day I'm going to be putting these roads in. I'm going to put these parking lots in. I don't got to be out here doing this. And it's fun to see, man. So tell us a little bit about how you got into the industry.
Yeah, so I was actually kind of born into it in a way. Well, not in a way, all the way. I have like pictures of me at like 2 years old, like on the back of a seal coat tank. My dad, you know, brought me with him to work. He was a door to door, driveway kind of, you know, the typical just like door to door driveway type of stuff. So patches, yeah. Seal coats. So I actually dropped out in eighth grade and just started working with him until I was about 16, and then I moved to Colorado and got like a I got a job after a few years of fucking up as a teenager. I got a job fixing sewer pumps for like $13.85 an hour, and that was the only job I've ever had, like an actual like on W-2 payroll job, sure. And the last job I've ever had. So then I moved back to my hometown, California, when I was 19, 20, yeah. And when I met my now wife. And you know, I looked at my last check, man, and was like, "There's no way if I just put in 60 hours for this company, and I'm I got like $600 on a check or five, whatever it was. I'm like, if I put that much amount of effort into my own thing, I would at least make that." So what, yeah. Like, what is there to lose, you know? So, anyways, that's, what started me on doing my own thing, but I was basically bored into the industry. But honestly, the way I learned was like, I learned everything not to do. Sure. I didn't really learn what to do, which honestly worked out in my benefit, you know? I mean, it honestly taught me, I think it was a better way of learning than the opposite. Because I was able to make myself different from, you know, majority of the competition. So,
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like, born into it.
It's the same old adage, right? Like, I'm a dad now, right? Been a dad for a while. Now I'm like, my son's become a teenager. My daughter is a teenager. And like, I can remember my dad telling me things and I would still do it. Like, even if he was like, hey, don't do it that way or don't do that. And I'm like, dude, you don't know. Right. And then I would go do it and then be like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. I probably shouldn't have done that. And he was right. I don't tell him he's right as often as I probably should, because I hate to admit it. But a lot of it the same way. Like, I started doing things that like no one had ever done before, or that I had never had guidance on before. And I had to learn the hard way. And sometimes like that's the best way to learn. It sucks, but you really learn, and it buffs out the hard edges and kind of gets you to where you are anyway. So what did that journey look like? Like once you started, doing driveways and whatnot, like what did the progression look like to where now you're doing full excavation projects and putting down a lot of tons?
So I mean, like I said, I moved back to my hometown. I had $500 to my name. I bought a 89 F-250. You started the ignition with a screwdriver.
This is a
true story. No registration, no nothing. There's a funny part of that. I took seal coat and basically like dumped it over the license plate. So you just couldn't see that it wasn't registered, you know?
Right.
But anyway, so that's where it started. I started knocking on doors, just selling driveways. I didn't have a license, and in California, you need to have a license for any work over $500, a contractor's license. So, from 20 to 23, I basically did that, no license, but I was doing the right thing. I was giving a good product. I wasn't screwing people over. I had grown up seeing that type of, like I was saying, I learned all the things not to do. So, I held my word. I did my thing. And, I think people seen that. And so word of mouth kind of grew. So I, was slow growing, but I was, making more than I was at a job. So for those first 3 years, it was I kind of just call it like that was like the hustle. It wasn't really the business.
For sure.
And then in 2017, when I was 23, I got my license finally.
Okay.
And, that was where everything changed. Yeah. Once I got my license, I went and kind of just went fucking balls to the wall.
I was going to say, dude, you have fucking freedom to do whatever you wanted with no fear. Yeah.
I had a daughter, through all that. So like I had that fuel. Of course.
Got motivated for sure.
Yeah. So basically, once I got the license, I just, I put it all, pedal to the floor, and, we've grown every year. I've had some years where with 100% growth. We just grew 50% from last year. So, from inception, it's been like over 300%.
Damn, dude. What was it like taking the jump? Like, I'm guessing like our trajectory, like one of the most common trajectories is like you get a seal coat rig and then start getting into crack filling a little bit heavier and then start getting into some type of patchwork like with us, like we cut and then go get hot mix, replace. And then the next jump is getting into paving and whatnot. What was it like taking the leap from the maintenance side to the paving side? What was that experience like for you? Did you sell the work first and it was like, dude, I got $100,000 parking lot. I got to go get a Lee Boy or I got to go get whatever. Like, or was it, I'm going to get the Lee Boy and then that's going to force me to start selling this work.
It's actually a little bit of both. Like for me, I've always been, there's no one that's going to save me, and that's honestly where I thrive. I have to like back myself in a corner and like, there's no fucking option, but to succeed, I can't fail. So, there was sometimes a job would come and basically I would just bid on anything. And I still do. Like if I can't actually perform it right now, cause I don't have the equipment or, whatever, that was always like, my mindset was always like, bid it and it will come. So I would bid a parking lot that I couldn't pave cause I didn't have a paver. And then, I would go make it happen if I got the job. But then there was also the other side of me that was like, I was always looking for the next thing to purchase, the next, way to grow, next market of money, like underground, I didn't do that. That wasn't my thing, but I seen there was money in it. Yeah. So I would also do, the other part of it where like, I would just hire people that knew what they were doing. And then I would get I knew like if I had them and I had the equipment, I would get the work. So it was kind of like a back and forth thing. So,
yeah. It was like a yin and yang. Yeah. It totally does. Totally does. Like once you realize you have the right person in place, then you have the ability to do what you need to do in order to sell the work. Right. Or you create a partnership or a relationship that somebody has the underground equipment. Okay. Now I can sell it and take margin off the top or whatever the hell I'm going to do. It's the same thing with equipment. Yeah. Like once you have it, then you, or access to it at least, then you can sell the work to it. Right. So there's a lot of guys in our industry who sell paving work and self-perform paving work, but don't own the paver. Right. They go and rent it. They sell the work and then they rent the paver and then do the work and have it. There's a lot of guys that don't own trucks, right? Like dump trucks or whatever. But they sell the paving work. They pull their paver and their skid steer and their roller to the job. And then they call the mix in from the plant and, you know, pay whatever the uptake is, but don't have to worry about the trucks or the drivers or anything else. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to do it. It's a unique journey, right? It's that I've come to find out, like we all kind of have similarities in our journey and how we did it, but everyone's got kind of a unique, attitude and charisma to it. And you totally have that. It started to come through, on your social media. For Coastal, I'm guessing you do social media marketing and whatnot already. Right. So tell me a little bit about, Michael doing, his own Instagram reels and whatnot. That's where I see you most of the time is on Instagram. How did that come into play? And what's the reason that you do that? Because there's a lot of guys out there that do what we do. And when they start getting on social media and you start seeing them be prevalent and they're making content, and let's be honest, your content is highly entertaining, but there's also parts of it that are educational. And that's a kind of a similarity to what we do here at BB. I think that's why we resonate well with it. What's the motivation, man, for getting yourself out there and putting yourself in social media for sure?
You know, I mean, really it was just like a switch went off in my brain one day where I was like scrolling on my phone, watching everything. And, I was realizing that I was the consumer, not the creator. And it, you know, I'm always looking of how to, you know, be on the other side of that. And, I also, you said something earlier about how, you know, kind of, you know, we're actually creating a community and we are, you know, kind of glorifying this line of work. And I think growing up in it, I always was so fascinated with it, but there was no fascination from other people, you know, like when you heard it, there was nothing cool about it. But to me, I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Yeah. So then I started seeing like Raise on Blacktop, yourself, you know, a few of these guys, you know, on Instagram. And then obviously like in other, there's other guys that are in other lines of work too, but, it just kind of hit me like, you know, we're all special in our own way. We're all unique. And there's knowledge that, you know, I may have that, you know, could help somebody, vice versa. And I think, you know, I think you're being selfish and robbing the world of, by not putting yourself out there and not showing who you really are and, you know, how cool this work can be or whatever work it is you're doing, like show yourself, you know, and show the, you know, I really wanted to show that, like, I call it site talk, like locker room talk, you know, that camaraderie that you have when you're out there, like with the guys.
Yeah. Y'all are mic'd up. Yeah. I see.
Yeah. That's where that part came from. You know, I mean, and then there's obviously, like you said, the talks, the phone calls, the podcasts and so forth. So, but yeah, I just wanted to be part of what's happening because it's actually what I always dreamed of. So it's like, I had to do it.
Yeah. There's two parts. There's two parts of what you said, right? When I was young, how old are you, Michael?
I just turned 30 in November.
Okay. So I'm 38. I'm a little bit in front of you, just a little bit. Still not quite up into the old guy part yet, but I'm getting there. But when I was young, it was actually looked down upon. Like our industry was looked down upon. If you did that, like, you know, when I started, I was door knocking, which I'm a huge introvert. And that is what turned me into an extrovert was like, if I'm talking to complete strangers, asking them for money to let me do something that they didn't think they wanted to do today, I can pretty much talk to anybody and do anything. Right. So it really started to build confidence in me and whatnot, but it had that look like every time that I would pull up and knock on a door, it felt like, they already had a predetermined vision of who I was. Right. I fit into this category and I totally am not that person. Right. I actually do want to look good. I want them to be happy that they hired me at the end of it. And when I first started creating content, that's what it was for. It was to get people to know, like, and trust me because I'm a likable guy and I'm a trustworthy guy before I got there. right? So that they would hire me already knowing that I'm the contractor they wanted. And I think that like you putting content out helps prove that. Like you said, Matt, Jake Buck, anybody like in our industry that does it now, a lot of the Blacktop Banner sponsored creators, that's what they do, right? We all put out to help the community be shown in a better light. The second part of what you're talking about is like when we would all hang out at a bar. If you were local and you had buddies and friends, you would go hang out with them and be like, hey, man, I did this today. Right. Oh, we were working over here and I hit a water main. And then, you know, I seen your dad over here, seen what he was doing. He was mowing a lawn over there and was flipping me the bird, whatever. We are essentially doing those conversations on social media, because when you post, we comment on there. When somebody else posts, you and I comment on there and vice versa. We're creating community. And that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You ask people, you know, like I'm asking you right now, like, yeah, you married, you have kids. Tell me about your life. Tell me when you do that. At a community event, you ask those same types of questions. You get to know somebody. The problem is, I live in Wisconsin. Trust me, unless you're coming to a Packers game or something, you have no reason to want to come to Wisconsin, right? So we're able to communicate and be in community over the social media. Tell me a little bit about what you've learned when you flipped that switch and started putting Michael on social media and started gaining some attention there. Like, what have you learned from posting your personal stuff on social media?
Dude, I've only been doing it for 5 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like it hasn't been that long, and I've learned a lot, honestly. Like I've learned a lot about so many different, honestly, like just the way people are, which I kind of already knew, you know, because I'm always in the comment sections, but it's like some of these people, the shit they say is, it's like, it almost just makes you realize like, I just feel bad now. Like comments don't bug me at all. Like I just laugh, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
it's like, dude, like you really honestly, like,
are you going to spend time doing that? And, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then these guys wonder why you're miserable.
For sure. Dude. So for sure.
There was that. There was also like a lot of pushback when I first started by my team, my family members, some business people that, you know me, but I actually deleted my whole account for like a few weeks because I got scared, you know, and then Brad Lee told me, you know, he literally told me that would happen. He was like, everybody's
for sure.
Nobody's going to understand what you're doing. They're all going to think you're fucking crazy. And you either got to sack up and just do it and take the risk or don't do it.
I'm incredibly proud of the Blacktop Banner Edition Seal Coating Unit, produced in partnership with KM International and available in both 550 and 700 gallon versions. Custom built on the same frame as their bulletproof hot boxes, I work closely with KM to design what I believe is the best seal coating unit on the market. A unit designed by a contractor for contractors. Learn more about the unit and to see a walkthrough of the entire unit by visiting kminternational.com.
If you're serious about efficiency and performance, listen up. The Craftco SuperShot 125 is not just a melter, it's a strategic pavement maintenance advantage. Quick startups, fume-free, automatic agitator shutoff, a splash-proof lid, and pumping on demand, these features are essential for any serious asphalt maintenance contractor. So don't settle for mediocrity. Elevate your game with the Craftco SuperShot line of melters by visiting craftco.com today.
In my opinion, Dynapac CC900G Roller is the best roller on the market for driveway and small parking lot paving contractors. The seismic technology in these rollers is unbeatable for the smoothness and compaction they provide, and I choose the Dynapac CC900G over the little yellow roller that you're used to seeing every single time. But don't just take my word for it. Check them out in person at Pavex and World of Asphalt, or visit Dynapac.com to find a dealer near you.
Hey, Blacktop Banner fans. This is Michael with Aquafalt. Say goodbye to potholes and roadway damage without the need for large crews, heavy equipment, or toxic chemicals. Aquafalt is the only permanent repair material for asphalt and concrete that uses water. And installation is simple. Just pour, add water, and tamp. It's that easy. An Aquafalt repair can be open to traffic immediately and fully sealed within 24 hours. Plus, the product is backed by a 3-year warranty and made in the USA. Visit aquafalt.com. That's AQUAPHALT.com to learn more.
In the past year, Jobber has been our CRM of choice at Wiscode, and it's made our world exponentially better efficiency-wise. The request-to-quote and quote-to-invoice process is seamless and professional. The scheduling aspect keeps us on point, and the team leaders moving throughout the day from project to project, while the timesheet feature tracks the team members' hours. For our small seal coating company, it has helped build the solid foundation we can scale from. Jobber is now a sponsor of Blacktop Banter and helps bring this show to you. With this partnership, Jobber is offering an exclusive savings to BB listeners of 20% off for 6 months. To take advantage of this, find the Jobber link in the show description and get to improving your process today.
Hi, contractors. It's Kyla from Wiscoat. We use Stencil Plus for all of our pavement marking stencils. Alphabet letters, numbers, directional arrows, handicap markings, you name it. We use it and we get it all from Stencil Plus. Right now, for a limited time, you can save 10% on your stencil order by using code BB10 during checkout at stencilplus.com or by calling 877-372-6055.
Contractors, you need to make it easy for potential customers to reach you. Get a custom phone number from the 800 Pavement Network and plaster it on the side of your trucks and rigs, and I guarantee you'll see increases in leads and jobs booked. Get yours by calling 1-800-728-3636.
I sat there for a few weeks and I'm like, you know what, man? At the end of the day, if somebody doesn't like me for actually being myself, my true self, and like enjoying my life and laughing and having a good time, but also being and trying to spread my knowledge as well, if somebody doesn't like that, no matter how much money they're giving me, like really, who are we fooling anyways? Why are we doing business together? Why are we even talking? Why are we friends? Who are we fooling? Like, this is really who I am. Like, I like to laugh. I like to love, you know, I like to respect, and I like to give knowledge and receive knowledge. So that was a big thing for me to learn. And now it's just like, that's how I'm going on it. You know, it's just, and then what happened, like a few months later, like some of our material sales office is like, they were talking about, you know, the next year pricing. And I got a text from multiple people and there was one specific one. And he's like, so I just found out that you're like you're like the whole office staff loves you. The sales office staff loves you. So you're going to get a better price or whatever. They're like, oh, Michael, he's so funny. Like, everyone followed me. So I've actually gotten a different approach now. People are, like people actually do like it. Opposed to when I started, everybody was like, what the fuck are you doing?
I know.
And now it's kind of like, so like I asked those people, you know, like the grant, or I should say their name, but the sales office that I'm talking about, the guy, my sales rep, I asked him like, hey, just like, honestly though, like, be honest, like what do you think? What do you really think about this? Like, you know?
Yeah. And, like, give me an honest opinion. Like, tell me like, we don't exchange money. Like, tell me like, if I was a stranger and you met me, like I need an honest opinion here. Yeah.
Yeah, like, is this that unprofessional? And he's like, honestly, I think the times have changed. Like, it's not the way it used to be, and it actually makes you more relatable. And that was huge for me, because then I realized I'm like, okay, so then I'm not the only one. Like, and that's exactly what I'm going for. We're relatable. We're all human. We're all the same at the end of the day. Sure. You know. So it's it's worked out so far.
Well, dude, when I first started doing it, I did YouTube for my business, and that's all I did. But then I put it on Facebook. Like, I would put the links to my YouTube videos, and this was like 2016 probably. And what happened was, I went to a conference where all these guys were using social media. They turned the camera on themselves, did whatever. And where I come from, my upbringing, you didn't do that. Like, you didn't show people what you did. Your work, anything like that, like, that's for you to know and for them to find out. We don't show what we do, right? And the other thing was, like, just making videos in general and putting them out where I live in a small community, like, put a magnifying spot glass, you know, a spotlight on you, and was like, look at this. And I erased the first 20 videos that I made, and I didn't come out of my house for like 2 weeks because I had anxiety so bad about what I thought people were going to think. And then, I call my mentor, his name's Keith, one of my mentors back then. And I'm like, dude, I can't do this. I have too much anxiety, whatever. And he's like, whatever you do, don't delete your shit. And I'm like, that's the first thing he said, whatever you do, don't delete your shit. And I'm like, dude, I already did. He went, no, dude, no. He's like, you're going to make it and you're going to wish you would have looked back and you had something to look at. I'm like, well, how did you even know I was going to do that? He's like, cause I did it. I freaking did it. He's like, I deleted my shit right away. He's like, everybody does this. Everybody does this. Yeah. They go through that like, holy shit moment. I'm not good enough. Why am I doing this? This was the wrong move. And they do it. He's like, and then you stew on it and you know, deep down that it's the right move. So then you go back to creating content and whatever. So even now, like when people go back and look at the Wiscoat stuff or the Blacktop Banner stuff early on, it's still unpolished. Like I hate going back and looking at my old podcast when I first started it in the basement. I had a fat face and was like, the lighting was awful and terrible. And I wasn't as well versed and shit. And it bothers me. I look at it, I'm like, dude, what were you doing? And, but everybody else loves it, dude. They love to go back and be like, I think it motivates them a little bit because where they're like, yeah. Oh shit, I don't need it to be perfect. Shit. Marvin wasn't perfect. And if they look at me like I'm any kind of success in this, you know, that it gives them a little bit of, discrepancy, I guess, back and forth for them to get motivated on. But what's exciting to me is for years before our industry became popular and we had this badass community online of content creators like yourself, like Matt, like myself, Jason at Florida Seal Coating. I got to give him some props. He's been turning the camera around, been a longtime friend of mine. I always told everybody I'm not the best at this. I was just the only one doing it. And I'm like, dude, there's going to be people that come up that like this is what they're meant for. And we're going to know they're meant for it because they're going to resonate really well and they're going to look great. They're going to sound great and they're just going to be natural at it and they'll have a natural instinct. Everybody I've seen try to force it, they don't make it, right? It's the genuine natural guys that you start to see and you're like, yes, this guy's got it. I can resonate with him. Perfect. And I think like you yourself, Matt, who is all shucks kind of guy, dude, when we get around him. He does great. He loves it. His family loves it. So it's really cool to see you start to do your thing and really start to get some recognition for it. I'm excited to see kind of what you're going to produce this into because, like you said, opportunities and different things come up because of it, right? Because of you being so vulnerable. What's your favorite kind of content to make? Like if you're going to make content, what's your favorite type?
I love the site talk. Like, as you can see, that's majority of it. And, it's just my natural state. So like, I purposely go back out and pave because that's where I actually like to be. Like, I hate office work. I hate, for sure. So it's like, which is a big thing that I've trying to also push is like, you can work on your business and in it at the same time. You just have to hire the right key players to be in certain positions, you know. And I like to hire people that are better than me. Like, and I think that's a key factor for any successful, you know, entrepreneur is to hire people that are better than them at the things that they, you know, aren't good at. And then, you know, instead of just sitting up at the top, you know, I personally would rather go back down to the middle of the mountain and, you know, be with the boys and laugh and joke and fucking locker room, you know, it's like, that's where I'm from. I'm kind of a more rough edged, you know?
Yeah. Whatever. I didn't get in it to push paper, dude. Like I didn't get in it to push paper. Like I hate numbers. I hate doing accounting. I was a little bit late to this, you and I getting here. So I was thankful to see that you weren't in the waiting room yet before we started the podcast, in the studio here online. And I was with my accountant. Right. And he was like, hey, this is what we're going to do at the end of the year. I need you to do this, 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 and this. And my admin, Kyla, was in there. And I'm like, I got a podcast. Like, you guys can talk about this stuff that you love all you want. I'm going to ham it up with Michael. Yeah. And like, this is what I love. Same thing. This is what I love. This is why I like doing this type of content. I don't necessarily love all the other forms we do as much as I do is getting to have a conversation and engage with people. You know, as we kind of wind down with it, I kind of want to know, like, where do you view a trajectory for yourself and for Coastal? Are you happy where you're at? And the militia side of it, that's where you're going to focus and kind of go? Or do you see anything in the realm of the future? Like what can we expect and what do you hope to achieve coming up here?
I mean, for Coastal, it's just to keep, you know, growing it, and get it to a point to where, you know, it's, you know, I want to be a big footprint on our small peninsula. We're a small community too. And, I've always dreamed of that, you know, like I want to have a fucking pretty decent footprint on the small peninsula. Like,
yeah,
that's just where I want to be. So I'm like pushing for, you know, I would love to get in, you know,
does your team believe in that, Michael? Like, do you got that team that's like down for the vision?
Yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah. So my last name's Militia, but it's spelled differently than the brand Militia or an actual militia. So, but basically it's a small army, is what the meaning is behind it. And that's truly what we have here. And what I've always wanted is a small army. So, and my goal with that is to spread that and get, you know, a bigger, but, you know, keep it a small army, but with people out there, you know, from other areas who are down with it and can understand that, like that sort of, you know, that sort of heart, you know, like that you're here to, you know, make your stamp and no matter how big or, you know, or small you are, you know, creating a group of people that are
all,
you know,
pushing,
just ready to go to war. So
I like it. That's what every business owner wants. Like they want that group of people that are like, dude, I'm down. Because let's be honest, dude, we work in the heat, we work long hours, physical labor. Like if you're striping and you're in the industry, you're doing it late at night and on the weekends, you're following your paver, you're at their whim, right? Same thing with your seal coder. You're following your seal coder if you're a striper or your group of seal coders. Like you need that type of guy. You need that type of gal. Like you need those type of people on your team that are like, dude, I get it. We're supposed to be here for 8 hours. It's going to take us 12. I'm down to ride. Like, let's just knock this thing out because it's getting us towards our bigger goal as we get going. Dude, what... You kind of gave us a bio of your journey to get to where you are from there to here. So it's been a, like you said, you went from everything like knocking doors to getting going to doing this big type of excavation parts of it, full excavation and paving. What is the major key piece of advice that you can give us that you've learned along the way? You've already dropped a few nuggets onto us, so I hope I didn't take one from you. But what do you think that would be? Like, what is the one thing where you're like, if I didn't have this or I didn't do this or I didn't change this, I wouldn't be as successful as I am right now?
I mean, there's a lot of things.
I was going to say, like, not to put any pressure on you to single it down to one thing, but
it's all good. I'm huge on simplifying things, you know, like, I guess the biggest thing that I would say is everything is as simple as yes or no. Like if you really break down any situation, any problem, any choice, anything, getting off drugs, starting a business, making more money, being a better father, being a better person, being a better friend, you know, being a better man, woman, whatever it is, it's not a big equation. It's actually very simple and it's yes or no. So when I wake up or when someone wakes up, if you have something you want to do, it is as simple as, are you going to do it? Yes or no. And that was what happened when I looked at that last paycheck I had and I seen, you know, if I just put 60 hours or whatever it was to get a couple $100 here, I'm struggling $13.85 an hour. Like, but even if that was 50 an hour or 100 an hour, whatever, like I said, well, if I just put that same effort into my own thing, I could at least make that. So there's no risk there, you know? And you could always go get another job if it fails, but it came down to me saying yes or no. And I said yes. And I packed up two suitcases, flew back here and used that last check and said yes to a truck that I could have, you know, that was fucking barely ran and whatever. And then I had to
It was a Ford. It was a Ford, dude. It was barely ran anyways, right from the factory. It's a Ford.
Yeah, here we go. My whole fleet's Ford. Built Ford.
I know, man. I'm playing with you.
But yeah, so like then it came down once I got the truck, once I did all that, it's like, now, okay, am I going to go knock on doors? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Yeah, am I going to get a yes or a no behind that door? Everything is yes or no. So I think that people think that there's like some big formula and some big equation and some big like secret to business or, you know, succeeding. And it really just comes down to effort, which is yes
damn,
or no.
Dude. Damn. Dude, that's a wonderful, beautiful insight with it. Yeah, dude. And sometimes the people behind the door give you a no. Like more and often than not, they gave me a no. But that I had to go till I got a yes. Like, there's people depending on me. My dream depended on me. Dude, great, great, great piece of advice. Dude, I worked a regular job, one regular job. I did roofing. It was for my uncle. That doesn't count. He gave me $20 every day, whatever. But I made pizzas at a gas station, dude. And I just remember what got me was they're like, hey, we hired you to make pizzas, but I need you to go work the cash register because so-and-so didn't come in. I'm like, I don't even know how to fucking what I'm doing on that thing. And then somebody yelling at me because I didn't know what I was doing with no training or whatever. And I was just like, never again am I doing this. Like, I was fucking done. I'm like, done. And from then on, I thought, okay, I have to work for myself. I will have to, or I'm going to die. Like, I'd rather die than do this shit again. Not saying that that's a bad thing. For some people, it works out just fine. They're cool with that. And I have people that work for me. But for me, it rubbed against the grain so hard that I was like, dude, I cannot do this. There's no way. Yeah. So, I resonate well with that. And like you said, it's a yes or no. You know you want to do it. If you say no, you're going to be miserable. If you say yes, you're probably going to be one step closer towards where you should be and where you're projected to go. Well, dude, where can we find you online? On Insta and where else?
Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube.
I got Michael _A_Militia on Instagram.
Yeah. Right? Okay, and cool. I think they're all the same, actually.
Oh, cool. Congratulations on being able to do that, dude.
if they're not the same, they're very close, and there's perfect. Not very many people with the last name Militia, but it is spelled M-E-L-I-C-I-A, not the way it is on my shirt or hat.
Cool. And, dude, we really appreciate you being here and taking time with us. And, dude, I for one, personally appreciate the content you put out. The younger version of Marvin in his early 20s would have loved to know that there was somebody like you out making content, because that would have motivated me, gave me direction and guidance just to be excited to be in the industry. And the whole reason that I started doing the community stuff and creating content was because I wanted to find people like me so that I could learn from them. And I learn a lot from you. I enjoy watching your camaraderie and your guys' culture at Coastal. It's very exciting. And I really appreciate you bringing that to the industry. Looking forward to spending more time together and hopefully getting to connect real soon. For those of you who are curious about the community, we have the Blacktop Banter Success Group here at Blacktop Banter. It's a collection of entrepreneurs that meet 3 times a month for Zoom calls. We go over mindset stuff. We go over business stuff, how to fix your crack filling issues or whatever. We talk about everything in there with PDFs and strategies and different things to help you out with all your pain points in your business. And then there's a 24/7 chat group in there where we all talk together. If you're curious about the Blacktop Banter Success Group and getting in touch with more contractors and developing friendships that hopefully help your business and your life, check that out at blacktopbanter.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter that comes out quarterly starting in January. You'll see the new one. That's right on the landing page. We would love for you to be there. Those are articles written by contractors for contractors. Some of the contractors featured in there are Cam Roberts, Kyle Lachone with Integrity Earth and Asphalt, Stephen Brainy with Fix Asphalt, and yours truly writes one. And Chris writes one about tech. If you want to learn how to make content like Michael and myself, Chris will help you out with that. Through some of those ones. And then there's usually some stuff in there from our sponsors and partners as well to learn about what they have going on. So be sure to share this podcast. We would love for you to be able to do that, to get people to know myself, Blacktop Banter, our guest, Michael Coastal at Coastal Paving. And he can learn about the Militia and culture and how they do everything there. Highly recommend following them on Instagram. You'll love it. All right, man. So, dude, I really appreciate you being here. Hopefully we get to have you back on. I'm in about a year, I'm going to wind back up and see, hey, man, how we doing? How's it going? Because I keep watching your followers start to trend up. So I'm excited to see where you're going to be in a year. And I think your heart is in the right place. You're totally genuine. And for me, that's what resonates well and resonates well with the people who want to work with us in the industry on the social media side. So I applaud you to that. I would tell you, dude, don't ever change, but I don't think you're ever going to. So I'm excited for that. We're about to have some fun this off season, I have a feeling. So yes, thank you. Thank you, man, for coming on here and having the heart to join me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm honored and appreciate your time and had a great time, great talk. And I'm sure I'll see you at some events coming soon. And I'm always here, man. So if you ever need anything, I'm here.
I appreciate it, man. All right. So yes, for myself and for Michael, this is Black Top Banter, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. And for sure, him and I speak asphalt. Like Blacktop Banter, we speak asphalt. Peace.
Hey, everybody. Marvin here from Blacktop Banter. And if you enjoy the podcast and what we've been bringing to the industry, you can support us through a one-time or recurring donation at blacktopbanter.com. There we have a support tab. You click that and choose your path from there. If you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do us a favor and leave a review there for us as well. As always, we speak asphalt, and thanks for your support.
This episode of Blacktop Banter is brought to you by Craftco, the world's leading manufacturer of packaged pavement preservation materials and equipment for the asphalt industry. Learn more at craftco.com.